Hi, and welcome to Heart to Heart, a Kingdom Hearts podcast, where I, Austin, explain the Kingdom Hearts series to my friends.
Hey, yo, it's me, Aura Lion, coming at you from this dream place. Just kidding, it's Cronus. Hello. Less exciting, I know.
Hi! I'm Darylise. Great to be here. Thank you for having me. Goodbye.
Ayo, Riley, or Juggle Pup. Thank.
So, you guys remember what happened last week?
Oh my god, do I? Go ahead, Austin.
Trust.
Oh.
So, Sora and Riku started their Mark of Mastery exam. We were told that they are going to go to 7 sleeping worlds and wake them up by opening these sleeping keyholes within them. This started on Destiny Islands as it was falling to darkness, basically. So basically the whole of Destiny Islands never woke up, never returned from the darkness. And the same is true for the rest of the worlds we're going to go to in this game. But because we're basically in those worlds' dreams to get to that point, there are new enemies to face. No longer are we fighting Heartless. We're fighting Nightmares, a type of Dream Eater. But we're not alone. We've found the Spirits, a different type of Dream Eater that fights Nightmares. And we'll be using them to help us fight the Nightmares.
Ready, Teddy.
Also, Sora and Riku got separated. They seem to be in two different, according to a character named Joshua, they are each in a separate version of Traverse Town currently. We don't really know what all that means. They also both have fallen asleep randomly without any explanation. We also don't really know what that means. I will go ahead and explain because I think I should have in the first part of the game. In this game, we play as both of them. Mm-hmm. So when one falls asleep, when one drops, we wake up as the other and we play through their side of the story.
Okay.
So after having fallen asleep out of his control, Sora wakes back up in Traverse Town, but with a jolt. If you recall, he had just seen a figure in a black coat. Where is he? He looks around, but there's no one here. They're both gone. Before I fell asleep, Neku said that he and the creep in the coat had a deal. But what was the deal? Are the two of them in league? That can't be right. We never found Neku's partner either. I guess I should just take a look around. So Sora makes his way through Traverse Town, and eventually he finds a secret entrance to the post office. There's always been this big old mailbox in the center of Traverse Town. And for some reason, you go and talk to it, and it just, like, stands up and moves to the side, and there's a tunnel. And you go into this tunnel, and it leads into this giant post office with all these rails and stuff and tubes that we glide along. And we discover that there's a lot more to Traverse Town than we ever saw before. We've only ever seen the first 3 districts, but there are several others on the other side of the post office. Wow, never been this way before. And Sora spots a large stadium with balloons in the distance. Oh, what's that? And as he approaches it, he ends up seeing a young kid talking to a Moogle. We haven't talked about Moogles much, but they're always like shopkeepers. They're a classic Final Fantasy thing. But Sora approaches this child and says, hey, any chance you're Neku's partner? Huh? And she turns to face him. I'm not really sure. All I remember is that my name is Rhyme. Oh, you mean you've lost your memory? Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. Ah, it's no big deal. You know what they always say? Sometimes memories just need a little help getting out. Yeah, that's true. A little help. I know. Maybe Neku can jog your memory. Come on, Rhyme, let's go find him. Right. So they walk into the 5th district, which houses a huge garden. And Sora looks up and sees that Neku is standing on the roof of this garden. Eventually they reach him, Hey, Neku, it's you. Sora, what, you actually still trust me? Of course I do. But you know that I tricked you, right? The guy in the black cloak, he said he could send me home, me and my partner, but I had to bring you to him first. Sorry. And Neku sort of looks down, upset. Hey, no big deal. When it really mattered, you stood up for me. And besides, we're friends, right? Friends. Neku turns to smile at him, and Sora smiles back. Oh, hey, Neku. This here is Rhyme. Is she your game partner? No, sorry. I'm teamed up with somebody else. And then Rhyme literally vanishes. Just out of nowhere, she's gone. What? Rhyme! And then the cloaked figure appears in the center of this area. Sora readies his keyblade, and Neku runs towards the man. He knocks Neku away with ease. Neku! Then the figure raises his arms, and a large nightmare appears, floating in the air above them. A corridor of darkness appears behind the man, and he walks inside. Hey, wait! Sora runs forward, but the corridor closes, and the nightmare blocks his path. Out of my way! So Sora defeats this nightmare, and as soon as he does, Riku wakes up. What happened? Did I fall asleep? He stands up and walks around. Where are Joshua and Beat? And you remember how you were very upset about Joshua's torso, his thinness? Just wait until you see this girl that Riku's about to run into.
Oh my god. Is this a child?
Is she okay?
Can you stop doing this to children?
Yeah, like I said, it's just the style of the art style of that game. Everybody is super crazy thin, but with huge hips.
All right, that's definitely an art style.
I do want that stuffed animal she's holding, though.
Yes.
Hey, do you mind? Riku turns and sees her running from Dream Eaters. He chases them to the first district, where he finds her surrounded. He summons his Keyblade. Stay back! He takes out all the Dream Eaters and then faces her. Seriously, thanks. I'm Shiki, how about you? Riku. Well, thanks, Riku. Sure. And he starts to leave. Hey, that's it? You chat up a girl and then just say, sure, and walk off? He stops and turns back to her. I'm bad at this. Sorry. Look, it's not safe here. You should go home. If it's dangerous, how can you just leave me here? Aren't you my knight in shining armor? And she plays with her doll while talking and winks at him. Well, knight, you've got the wrong idea. Oh my gosh, I was just kidding. You get out much? He just crosses his arms, unable to form words, as the script says. You remind me of this guy I know. Well, good thing we met. Yeah, great. Together they walk to the 5th district, and at that moment, Neku and Sora reach the ground level in the 5th district in their version of the world. And they see an image, like a hologram almost, of Riku and Shiki walking in. Sora calls out, Riku! Shiki yells out, over there! And starts running off. Sora sees her run off towards the staircase as he starts to run over to Riku. Just then, a familiar homosexual voice calls out, hold on, Sora! Riku calls out to Shiki, hey, we should stick together! And starts chasing after her. A portal appears behind Sora, who watches the image of Riku run after Shiki. And then Joshua appears before Sora and Neku. Joshua. Hello, Neku. Oh, how long the days without you have felt. Rhyme reappears suddenly. Rhyme, I'm glad you're okay. Hey, Neku, do you know this guy? Yeah, Joshua. He's my friend.
Oh.
Okay. Are you the one that took Rhyme away? And why do you know my name? If you'd like to settle down for a sec, I'll field your questions one at a time. Let's start with Rhyme. I'm hanging on to her dreams for her. They're my portal. Sora crosses his arms, looking extremely confused. Let's just say her dreams are a gateway between worlds. Next question. How could I possibly know your name, right? Well, this town has a little secret. It only appears when someone out there has need of shelter. I'll spare you the details, but right now it's made up of my dreams. So of course I know you. I dreamed you up. I know your best friend, Riku, too. Really? You know Riku? Well, yeah, I'm kind of omniscient. Then where is he? In the other Traverse Town. Riku stops running as he catches up to Shiki and sees a lone cloaked figure instead with Shiki's doll laying at his feet. Shiki! No way! The figure steps on the doll and kicks it away. And then the figure says to him, "How did you get here? Who are you? By choice or by chance, you cannot control what you're not aware of." And the figure begins to walk down the stairs towards Riku, who begins to slowly back away. Back on Sora's side, Joshua turns towards the staircase, where Sora sees Riku's image again, backing down the staircase away from that figure. He's right inside this projection. Another imagining of this world. You mean another Traverse Town? Can I get there with your portal thing? Sad to say, it won't work for you. My portal thing only opens for the one with Rhyme's dreams. In this projection, you're seeing another chain of events, in another world trapped by the Dream Eaters. As for how the world got split in two, I have a feeling you'll have to ask this guy. And then Sora sees the cloaked figure, a projection of them, walking down the stairs towards Riku. Him again! Back to Riku's side. This wakeless sleep will be your prison to wander forever. Just then, Riku's been backed up to the edge of a fountain. What do you mean? And then a familiar punk voice calls out, "Riku, don't you listen to that punk!" And Beat shows up. Neku and Rhyme are seeing an image of Shiki and Beat, but they can't really hear what's being said. But Beat calls out to Riku, "Shiki's gonna be fine. She told me what's up. Hoodie here set up this whole thing, yo. He promised to send Shiki back to our world, and you was the cost to travel." And he looks over to the cloaked figure. "Yo, this is seriously one half-baked excuse for a mission. Bet you ain't even a Reaper." And the figure takes off his hood, revealing yellow eyes and long silver hair. Let me send you a picture of this young man.
Ha, true. Look at him. He looks like a little fountain top. You cannot look at him and be like, "Wow, that hair is a fountain."
Love that.
So the figure takes off his hood, revealing his yellow eyes and long silver hair. "All right, who are you?" Back on Sora's side, "Who's that?" And this image's form flickers and vanishes. Back to Riku's side, the young man raises his arms and summons a huge Dream Eater, which flies inside the garden building, and the man escapes through a corridor of darkness, just as he did to Sora.
"Wait!
I'm really sorry, Riku," calls Shiki. Riku had picked up the doll that the man kicked at him and tosses it back to her.
"It's all right. Beat, watch her. I got this, yo!"
Riku enters the building, and with the help of his Dream Eaters, defeats the big nightmare. Then he joins the others outside, where they see the images of Sora, Neku, Joshua, and Rhyme.
"Hey, what is this?"
says Shiki as she walks up to the projection of Neku. Riku walks up to the projection of Sora.
"What are we seeing?"
And he moves his hand into the image, and he can, like, move through this projection of Sora.
"This is so messed up, man."
Beat kneels down to Rhyme's level.
"She's right here in front of me, and I can't reach her."
He tries to grab her, but his hand goes right through her like a mirage. "If your hearts are connected, you'll reach her." And then basically everybody says the name of the person that they wish they were with. Rhyme says Beat. Beat says Rhyme. Neku says Shiki. Shiki says Neku. Sora says Riku. Riku says Sora. Then there's a
and
flash.
And Peggy.
God, your sisters. Riku, Sora, Rhyme, and Peggy.
There's a flash, and just Sora and Riku stand alone with Joshua. They both see each other as a projection, but they both see Joshua as real. In their world, he's talking about the other characters from his game series, something happened that brought their existence to an end. To keep them from fading altogether, I gathered up every last remnants of their dreams and looked for a place to give them refuge. It was then that this world appeared to answer my call, and Rhyme's dreams allowed us to reach it. Here, I thought they might have a chance, that the pieces of their dreams could make them whole again. Imagine my surprise when I realized dreams take bodily form in this world. It struck me, by linking their dream pieces back together, maybe I could make them exist again. Maybe I could give them another chance. It can't be that simple. Well, why can't it? By ourselves, we're no one. It's when other people look at us and see someone, that's the moment we each start to exist. All they needed was for someone to see them, connect with them. And the two of you were a big part of making that happen. Together, Sora and Riku say, Joshua, just who are you? Let's say, a friend. And then two large wings sprout from his back, and he flies up into the sky. I'll go ahead and just do a little bit of spoilers for The World Ends With You. He is basically God.
Who? Wait. I'm sorry. Who?
Joshua. Yellow? Our homosexual friend.
I mean, so he is Tommy.
God as a gay man?
In The World Ends With You, basically, yeah.
Like that.
God. Get it, girl?
Then a keyhole appears on the building in front of them. They nod at each other's projections and they put out their keyblades and they seal this sleeping keyhole. And then the scene flashes back to Yensid's tower.
One dream is connected to another, which means we must choose in which sleeping world you will begin. I will return you to Destiny Islands, just before they were swallowed by the darkness and plunged into sleep. Once dreams take you, you must let them guide you to the sleeping worlds. As there are seven pure lights, there are seven sleeping keyholes. Unlocking these will grant both of you new powers and free the worlds from their wakelessness. Complete this task and return here safely, and I will name both of you true masters.
So basically, he just told us that he did a time travel. He sent them back in time to the moment that Destiny Islands fell to darkness so that they could basically ride its fall to darkness into Destiny Islands' dreams. And then from that dream, they could ride it to the next one and so on and so forth.
Okay.
Which is fine. Like, if this was the only version of time travel, I'd be whatever. But we get a very detailed explanation of a different version of time travel later in this game, and it frustrates me to no end that they break their own rules of time travel, or at least don't explain the rules of this other version, in the same game that they in-depth explain time travel. Anyway. Riku enters a world with a large bell tower in the square of a cathedral. And a tall man in golden armor chases down a dark-haired woman in a violet dress.
Stop her!
Reaching impassable festival tents, she turns and bows to him, disappearing in a puff of pink smoke. Riku walks into the area where the woman runs by him. He stops and watches her escape. The armored man runs up.
You there! Have you seen a G-slur woman?
A G-slur woman?
They don't say this. We're doing Hunchback of Notre Dame. They don't say G-slur. I say G-slur.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know what that meant for a moment.
Right.
So I was like, oh, okay. So we're doing this thing where we don't allow full grown like people to be called girl. Got it. I was in a whole different ballpark of.
Yes, the slur word for the Romani people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Riku, despite having just seen Esmeralda run by, says, nope, sorry, because he doesn't talk to cops.
Yeah.
Fucking go, Riku!
The woman is hiding around the corner listening to this, so she straight up knows this guy doesn't fuck with cops. All right, thanks. The man walks over to another man
A thin man with strong features, dressed in a long black robe with a red sash hanging from his triangular hat. I'm terribly sorry, sir. We lost her. Slippery vermin. He turns to the man. I'm beginning to question having summoned you back from the wars, Captain Phoebus. The captain sighs and follows him. Riku continues walking, and then the woman steps out of hiding. Thank you. You stood up for me. She walks over to him, smiling. I'm Esmeralda. Riku, and it's not like I know what a G-slur is. Why are they chasing you? Judge Frollo has been hunting us for years. We G-slurs are guilty of nothing but loving our freedom. Yet Frollo hates whatever he can't control. Now he's even brought in fresh blood to torment us. And she sighs. I'd hate to know what darkness drives that man. I think I can imagine. Tell me more. Was he always like this? I don't give Frollo much thought. But if you'd like, you could try Notre Dame. They say it's a place of answers. Riku looks towards the cathedral, and then he enters through the massive double doors, making his way across the tiled floor. The massive church is silent and still. Is anybody here? Who are you? Riku turns to see a man in green clothing in the dark glow of the room. He walks closer and notices a hunched back and a malformed face. I'm Riku. My name's Quasimodo. I'm very sorry, but the Archdeacon is away. He shyly turns in the direction of the tower stairs. Actually, I'm looking for a man named Frollo. Do you know where he is? At the mention of the name, Quasimodo turns back to him and looks at him. My master? He said he had business on the outskirts of the city. Do you mean you know him? Oh, yes. He's very kind. Master Frollo saved my life. He protects me from the outside world. He protects you from it? And Quasimodo looks down at his hands and he covers his face. The people out there would be cruel to me. I'm a monster. You know. Is that what Frollo told you? Trust me, looks can be deceiving. A good friend sees you for who you are, no matter what face you wear. Which, one, is a really sweet thing for Riku to say, but also something like that literally happened to him in Kingdom Hearts 2, where he had the face of Ansem, but still, Sora and Kairi instantly knew it was him, and it's very cute and good. You should go out there. Find some friends who understand you. Oh no. My master forbids it. I'm not to set foot outside. Are you sure that's what's stopping you? Because I think it's something else that's holding you back. Quasimodo starts to walk towards the stairs. Ask your heart, Quasimodo. And he stops. I'll check the edge of town, though. Thanks. And Riku starts to walk away. And as he does, he whispers to himself, I wish I could take my own advice. Oh. Back on Sora's side, he also enters. This world is called La Cité des Cloches, the City of Clocks, and he walks through the town. Judge Frollo looks upon him with scrutiny. Sora notices the man, but just walks by him. But he senses an eerie feeling from Frollo's stare. Stop! And they turn and face each other. What? Who? Me? The judge walks closer to him, examining his clothes. I've never seen you before. Your name? I'm Sora. Such disgusting attire. I know what you are. Just then Phoebus runs up. Judge Frollo, sir. What is the matter, Captain Phoebus? Can't you see I'm interrogating this G-slur? This kid here? But sir, he's just a boy. I shall be the judge of that. Phoebus looks hesitant to speak. Now, Captain, did you have something to report to me, or did you not? Yes, sir. Monsters. They've invaded the square.
Monsters? I'll take care of it.
He summons his keyblade and runs in the direction of the cathedral.
Hey, wait, it's not safe.
Phoebus tries to run after him, and Frollo clenches his fist, and the camera sees a dark aura surround him.
The city is overrun. For decades I've worked to purge the city of those wretched G-slurs, and now the streets teem with even more disgusting vermin that threaten law and order.
Sora runs into the cathedral square, where a festival is taking place. A young man with a hunched back, dressed in a king's robe and a false crown, is waving at the crowd while riding on one of the elephant dream eaters. Several other dream eaters are flying around,
and the crowd is just cheering. I knew it was Dream Eaters. Sora charges forward and notices the man.
What are you doing? You need to run.
Oh no, I couldn't. Today's the festival. And look, I'm the King of Fools. Just then, a Komori bat flies over to Phoebus, who strikes it down as Frollo enters, and he notices Quasimodo atop the elephant and scowls.
Quasimodo!
Quasimodo gazes at Frollo in terror. It's my master. The elephant's eyes light up, sensing the fear from Quasimodo, and it buckles back with a loud trumpeting of its, what are they called? The tube on its face. Trunk. Knocking Quasimodo to the ground. He gets up, but now he's surrounded by nightmares and his fear is growing. And we see that, like, it seems the nightmares around are getting riled up by his fear.
Oh no, please stop. Why doesn't everything ever go the way I want it to?
Just then, Basora runs over to him with his keyblade and calls out, "Get to safety!" And then Esmeralda shows up,
"Let me help."
And Basora's like, "Who are you?"
Esmeralda, I'm a Geesler.
Thanks, I'm Sora.
Jesus Christ.
She extends her hand to the dejected Quasimodo. He looks up at her and smiles, and they run together towards the cathedral. Phoebus watches this happen and smirks. But Frollo also sees it happen and calls out,
Geesler witch!
So Sora faces down the nightmares. And then after the fight, is wondering if Quasimodo is all right and enters Notre Dame to go find him. Eventually makes his way to the bell tower, passing three gargoyles while entering. Just then, he sees Quasimodo introducing Esmeralda to the large golden bells hanging throughout the rafters.
This is Big Marie.
Hello!
And Esmeralda spins inside the bell and touches the clapper.
She likes you.
And they both smile at each other.
Looks like Quasi's gonna be just fine.
So Sora doesn't approach. But just then, one of the gargoyles behind him straightens his back.
Indisputably.
Another does the same.
He's tough.
And then the third.
We may be hard as stone, but Quasi's stronger.
I know. Whoa! Talking gargoyles? Excuse us for having personality. Esmeralda starts to leave, walking past a table with a model of the city.
You could stay here forever.
No, I couldn't.
Oh yes, you have sanctuary. But not freedom. Geeslers don't do well inside stone walls.
Quasimodo's face takes on a determined look.
You helped me. Now I will help you. But there's no way out. There's soldiers at every door.
They look towards the model of the cathedral.
Then we won't use a door.
And he walks over to her.
It's all right. Are you ready?
So he takes her in his arms and leaps out the window onto the parapet. He jumps down and swings his way out of the cathedral. Sora just watched all that, basically, and was like, I didn't expect that. So he turns to the gargoyles.
So, how come you and Quasimodo are so close?
We've been friends for years. More than a decade of camaraderie. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
He never leaves?
Oh, he's not allowed to leave. Judge Frollo forbids it.
Why?
Care to pull up a stool?
The short version is, Frollo thinks he's doing Quasi a favor by keeping folks from seeing that mug of his.
After a lifetime of watching from the nosebleed seats, Quasi just wanted to go to the Feast of Fools, and we're so proud of him for finally working up the courage to do it.
'Tis a shame those creatures dashed his hopes. You should talk, when was the last time you looked in a mirror?
Well, you broke it.
They almost fight, but the third stops them.
I just hope that this one failure doesn't cause Quasi to give up. He was so close. Well, we can't let his heart be his prison.
Sora runs to the entrance.
Don't worry, I'll go talk to him.
So Sora leaves, and the scene changes to earlier, during a small meal between Judge Frollo and Quasimodo.
My dear Quasimodo, you don't know what it's like out there. The world is cruel, and you are deformed and ugly. You will be shown little pity. You must believe me. I am your only friend, and how can I protect you, my dear boy, unless you stay in here? Remember, Quasimodo, this is your sanctuary.
Yes, Master. Back in Riku's story, he reaches a bridge and sees a shadow come over him. It's a huge nightmare flying overhead. He runs through the city towards the outskirts, kind of being chased by this nightmare. It keeps shooting fireballs down, destroying parts of the city. But Riku dodges the fireballs across the bridge, knocking away smaller nightmares and other obstacles in his path. When he reaches another part of town, he eventually arrives where Captain Phoebus and Frollo are, as they stand outside a windmill.
Stand aside, Captain Phoebus.
I will not. What have these people done wrong?
I have proof this family gave harbor to Geeslers.
That's not a crime.
I can think of few crimes that are greater.
Just then, the giant nightmare flies in, and Riku runs up.
What demon is this?
It descends on Frollo, or near Frollo. But Frollo walks towards it slowly, his hands folded, pulsing with a dark aura.
Oh, you are mistaken, Captain Phoebus. This is no demon. This is righteous judgment. I've been granted this power so I might smite all Geeslers now and forever.
This is all wrong.
He won't listen. Once you've fallen that far, there's almost no coming back.
How dare you? I am a virtuous man. Good and evil shall be made plain once the Geeslers face the fires of judgment.
Frollo walks away, quietly laughing to himself, with the giant nightmare following behind him, seemingly taking his instructions. But Phoebus runs ahead of this creature and tries to stop it. But it knocks him to the ground and leaves. Riku rushes to Phoebus, holding his arm in pain.
You all right? Well, I can't say you didn't warn me.
You should take it easy. I'll deal with Frollo.
Thanks. I gotta tell you, this is embarrassing having to rely on a kid.
You wouldn't be the first. Sorry.
I'll admit, you look more capable than me right now.
All right, be careful. It looks like that creature is headed back for the cathedral. So he watches as the nightmare flies towards the city.
Okay, got it.
We get another flashback at the bell tower where Frollo and Phoebus watch over the city.
You've come to Paris in her darkest hour, Captain. It will take a firm hand to save the weak-minded from being so easily misled.
Misled, sir?
For 20 years I've been taking care of the Geeslers, and yet for all my success, they have thrived. I believe that they have a safe haven within the walls of this very city.
What are we going to do about it, sir?
Stamp them out, one by one.
You make your point quite vividly, sir.
The scene cuts back to Sora, running through the square, passing Phoebus on his way into town.
Oh, hello again, Sora, was it?
And Sora stops and turns towards Phoebus, who's no longer wearing his armor.
Hold it, you're that guy with Frollo.
Easy, I'm not looking for any sort of fight.
And Sora drops his defensiveness.
Finally, someone sensible. I'm Phoebus. Tell me, is she still safe in the cathedral?
If she is Esmeralda, then Quasimodo helped her escape.
Quasimodo, around a corner, overhears this conversation.
Blast.
What's wrong?
And the former captain looks up at the bell tower.
It's Judge Frollo. He's obsessed with destroying the Geeslers, and his mind is in a dark place.
When I objected to his barbarous actions, he banished me from the guard.
What? That's not fair.
Don't worry about me. Frollo said he's found the Court of Miracles, the Geeslers' haven within the city. Esmeralda and her friends are in danger.
Quasimodo is holding a necklace in his hands.
We have to find them and warn them before Frollo gets there.
Quasi drops the necklace, alerting them to his presence. Sora turns and sees him and says,
Quasimodo, Esmeralda's in trouble.
Where did she go?
I don't know. She vanished into the streets.
He looks down at the necklace and picks it up.
She gave me this pendant. Esmeralda said that this would help us find her.
And then he thinks for a second and repeating something he was told by Esmeralda.
When you wear this woven band, you hold the city in your hand.
And he gasps, having a realization.
It's the city. It's a map, see? Here's the cathedral, and here's the river. Go this way, cross the bridge, and the Court of Miracles.
Phoebus pats a hand on Quasimodo's back. Well done, Quasimodo.
Yeah, Quasi, nice.
Yes, I'm going to save her. So together they make their way through the graveyard and to the Court of Miracles to find Esmeralda.
Quasimodo, what are you doing here?
Phoebus and I came to warn you. Frollo's on his way.
Take what you can and flee.
Suddenly, they're all surrounded by nightmares.
Well done, Captain Phoebus. And Frollo walks in. Thankfully, you were every bit as predictable as I had hoped.
Dear Quasimodo, I always knew someday you would be of use to me.
Quasimodo looks down defeated, and Frollo approaches Esmeralda. He leans in closely as she tries to back away.
I have you at last, you witch.
He runs behind her and grabs her by the waist, placing his other hand on her shoulder, his face close to her neck. She struggles to rid herself of the odious man.
There'll be a bonfire in the square,
and he starts to lead her away. Quasimodo calls out,
No, please, master.
But Frollo just looks down on him with contempt.
Frollo, I won't let you do this.
And Sora rushes towards him, bearing the Keyblade. But darkness surrounds Frollo, which stops Sora, who feels a presence from behind him. He turns and is knocked to the ground by a Dream Eater. And when he comes to, he opens his eyes and realizes everyone else is missing. After taking a moment to come to terms with the fact that he's all alone, he remembers that he heard Frollo say that he's taking her to a bonfire in the square. So he rushes back towards the cathedral square. And he sees a wooden platform where Esmeralda is tied to a large stake, a fire already burning around her, the area bathed in a red haze.
Esmeralda!
Quasimodo is looking down from on Notre Dame, but he descends on a long rope, running along the cathedral exterior and swinging out to the platform, where he rushes to Esmeralda and begins to untie her.
Way to go, Quasi!
He grabs onto the rope again and swings back to the cathedral, walking up the side of the church. And then he reaches the parapet in front of the large window and raises Esmeralda's body in the air.
Sanctuary!
Frollo scowls fiercely and starts running towards the cathedral, Sora running after him. Sora gets distracted for a second by a stone falling from above, and when he stops to look up, he notices a huge nightmare crash down on the platform. It growls at Sora as he readies his weapon. Sora fights and defeats it, just as Frollo catches up to Quasimodo and Esmeralda on top of the bell tower. Frollo holds a sword in his hands as Esmeralda scrambles to the ground.
I should have known you'd risk your life to save that G-slur witch, just as your mother died in her pitiful attempt to save you.
What?
Now I'm going to do what I should have done 20 years ago.
He strikes forward at Quasimodo, who falls back, catching himself on the edge of the wall. Esmeralda rushes over and struggles to help pull Quasimodo back over the parapet, which leaves her defenseless. Frollo laughs viciously, lifting the sword above her in the air.
And he shall smite the wicked and plunge them into the fiery pit forever!
Just then, the gargoyle below him starts to crack, and he stumbles, losing the sword and dangling by his arms from the statue. The gargoyle glows and roars at him sinisterly, spilling Frollo into the depths of fear as the statue gives way, sending the judge to his death below. At the same time, Esmeralda starts to lose her grip.
Quasimodo! Quasi, no!
And Quasimodo falls off the tower, but is saved miraculously by Phoebus. The fire rages in the square below as Quasimodo gives Phoebus a thankful hug. The captain pats him on the back and looks up as Esmeralda enters with a smile. Quasimodo faces her and smiles back, and he looks at both of them for a second before placing their hands together. Phoebus and Esmeralda give a small chuckle as he smiles warmly. Back on Riku's side, he runs into the square, seeing the bonfire has continued burning as Quasimodo holds Esmeralda, who is breathing heavily.
Is she going to be all right?
I'm fine, thanks to Quasimodo.
Quasi, where'd the creature go?
It's up there. And they look up towards Notre Dame.
Right. So Riku runs off. Quasi calls out, "Wait, I'll go with you." "Thanks, but stay with her." And he runs around. He starts to run off and then turns to face Quasi again. "Quasimodo, did your heart have the answer?" And Quasimodo nods, and Riku runs off, having got this answer. Riku makes his way up Notre Dame, and then eventually he runs into Frollo at the top, who's crying out, "Yes, let it burn. The flames will consume everything. You see, this is the power that has been granted to me." "I see a sad old man with a dark heart." Frollo turns to face him, and his darkness rages. "Again, you are wrong, and now you will be judged just like the rest." And the giant nightmare appears and flies up to the tower, knocking Frollo from the parapet. He drops the sword in his hand as he falls towards the square below, calling out, "Judgment is mine!" as he falls. Just then, a pair of boots walk towards the sword, and Riku looks up to see an all-too-familiar man with tan skin, white hair, and yellow eyes. "Ansem, why are you here?" And we see that he's accompanied by the same cloaked young man that we encountered in Traverse Town. And the young man says, "Your best friend is never far." Ansem, Seeker of Darkness, bends down and picks up the discarded sword.
"So sad, the cost of yielding to the darkness."
"You could write a book about that."
Ansem points the sword at Riku. "But I embrace the darkness. Unless you hurry up and learn to do the same, your story will end just like his."
"I walk the road to dawn."
And Riku summons his Keyblade. "Still afraid of the dark, I see," says the young man.
As he says this, a corridor of darkness appears behind them, and Ansem tosses the sword away as the cloaked man enters the portal. Before entering himself, Ansem smirks at Riku.
"Wait!"
Riku tries to rush into the corridor, but it closes before he gets there.
"He thinks I'm afraid of the dark?"
"No, not while I have the Keyblade." And he readies his blade before the nightmare.
"It will guide me to the light."
So Riku fights and defeats the nightmare. Afterwards, Esmeralda and Phoebus walk towards the entrance of the church, holding hands, while Quasimodo watches happily. Sora walks over with the three gargoyles.
"Quasimodo, you can't let your heart be..."
"I know. I can't blame Frollo for putting walls around me. It wasn't the walls that were holding me back."
Everyone nods, and Quasimodo walks to the entrance.
"But my heart is free now. I'm ready to see what's out there."
Sometime later, Sora stands near the altar, looking at a powerful statue.
"All that time, Quasimodo let himself be trapped in the nightmares Frollo gave him."
And he walks towards a beam of light pouring through a stained glass window, but then stops seeing a figure walk towards him. It's the same young, cloaked man from Traverse Town.
"Hypocrite, you are the one who has made your own heart a prison."
"You again? What are you talking about?"
And for a split second, a memory awakes in the recesses of Sora's heart, and he sees an image of a boy with black hair very similar to his own. It's almost superimposed on this man for a second.
"Even if you are not the prisoner."
"Huh?"
The young man walks into a corridor of darkness, which closes before Sora can reach it. And just then, Sora looks up at the stained glass window, where a keyhole appears. He raises his Keyblade and seals it.
"My heart's a prison?"
He closes his eyes, letting light wash over him. And later, back in Riku's side, the city is peaceful, as Riku, Phoebus, and Esmeralda stand in the square with Quasimodo.
"Master Frollo made me live inside the bell tower, but the real walls were the ones I built around my heart. You helped me see that, Riku."
Riku clenches his fist slowly. It's very much the Arthur meme from the camera angle. And Quasimodo notices.
"I was speaking from personal experience." "I'd say you still keep a lot locked inside."
"We all do that sometimes. There are just some things we need to keep separate from the world at large, at least until we have time to figure them out."
She smiles at Riku, who nods. Sometime later, Riku is thinking to himself about Ansem. I know the road my heart walks. Then a keyhole appears above the round glass window of the cathedral. Riku points his keyblade at it and seals this world. And I think that's where we'll end it, because we have some cool... Yeah, I think that's where we'll end it, and we'll start next episode with some cool reveals about some other stuff going on, separate from our two boys.
Ooh!
Let's just say we've kind of already been told, hey, if you destroy the nobody and the heartless of somebody, they come back. And we've killed a lot of nobodies.
Right.
Well, do you guys have any thoughts, comments, or questions on finishing up Twilight Town or Traverse Town and the City of Clocks?
I think it's real whack they continue to use the G slur.
There was so much G slur.
So there was a lot of G slur.
Did you ever say who the silver hair fountain guy was?
I have not said his name yet. We don't discover it till later, but if you guess it, if you get close in a guess, I'll just confirm if you're right.
I mean, there's really only been a couple silver-haired characters.
It's true. And they're all related
you
to one
You said he
person.
Had yellow eyes, Xehanort. Right?
Xehanort.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is young Xehanort.
Oh my god, it's baby evil!
It is. obviously, he has time-traveled in some form to get here. Because the Xehanort that should be formed right now should be Old Man Xehanort. And he will be our, basically our main villain for this game is young Xehanort.
I hate the unzippered bottom. Why is that a design choice? It doesn't make any sense to me. Ugh. Just zip it all the way down!
I'm excited that we're diving into this game. I think it is a confusing one at times, but I think it's also a really good game, and it has the cute Dream Eaters all the time. So if you guys ever are feeling a little down about the game, just let me know and I'll send you more Dream Eater picks.
Woo. Okay, deal.
Always send me Dream Eater picks.
I would definitely sign up for like a Dream Eater like fact of the day.
Yes.
like the prank text things.
Get some people in the server to start sending you guys Dream Eater facts that aren't too spoilery.
Yes.
Our intro and outro song is Dearly Reminded by On Ultra. You can find his Bandcamp links in the show notes. You can also find a link to our Discord server in the show notes. But that's all from us this week. Bye.
Bye.
Sayonara.
Austin, your demanding fans want to know what you're changing your name to.
I haven't decided yet. I don't know.
Darylise suggested Joshua.
Oh no.
And yes.
Wayfinder said I had an immediate thought, but spoilers.